Om Shanti. Everyone silent. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. First of all, welcome to Madhuban. Welcome to Gyan Sarovar. On my behalf, all of you have taken this challenge that you have come at this time of the season when it is so cold. I know in some countries, in Malaysia, Singapore, it's not that cold. Sri Lanka, Mauritius, not that cold, is it? No. But you all took up this challenge that you will come in December. But Baba says, day by day, situations are going to become worse. And we cannot hope that they are going to become better. Should we hope that they are going to become better? What do you think? Yes? Yes or no? Those who think they are going to become better, raise your hand. No one. We know that they are going to become worse and worse. Because we have reached the fag end of the Iron Age. And if we look around everywhere in the world, we feel that how bad every situation is turning into. All the vices are reaching their extreme. Lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, just name it and it's there. And it's going to become more and more, Baba says. Because very soon we will be going through the climax scene. And that climax scene will not be a rosy scene, not a very enjoyable scene. But yes, after that, the golden age will usher in. The extreme darkness has to come before the dawn comes. And we have to be prepared for that. We don't have to wait for that long to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared now. Because Baba has said that anything can happen anywhere, anytime. It is going to happen all of a sudden. Suddenly, Baba uses this word so often. So anything, any situation can happen anywhere, anytime. And therefore we have to be always prepared. But our preparation is not something at a physical level. You know, there in the world, the military is prepared, the police is prepared, the home guards are prepared, you know, they are prepared to face any situation. But here, Baba says, your preparation has to be internal. Physically, we are not going to be armed with arms and ammunition or with weapons or with a bulletproof jacket or with a bulletproof car to save the self, to protect the self. Because all that is external. But yes, if I'm internally prepared to face any situation, then Baba says that mountain type adverse situation can turn into not even a molehill but into cotton wool. So externally, we are seeing how the world is also preparing. All the nations are preparing to face any adverse situation, but all in an external way. And they want to show their might. They want to show their valor or their strength by accumulating more and more weapons, selling more and more weapons. And all that is happening on the name of peace. Just imagine. On the name of peace, they are preparing for all types of war. And we are seeing this situation growing worse day by day. On one hand, we have that threat. On the other hand, the political situation in every country. On the third hand, the economical situation in every country. The family situation in every country. Whatever you talk of, at even individual level of each one, their strength is depleting. And here Baba is creating a new world, a new tree. The old world has reached its deteriorated form. And Baba is planted a new sapling for the new world. And he has created this Brahmin family, this small sapling. And very often Baba says that those prophet souls who have come from time to time, from Copper Age onwards, their efforts were not that much to create their branch or their own tree. Because the new souls came from Paramdham and joined in their religion. But now here at this moment, the deity religion is being established by God. That religion which has gone into oblivion, that religion of the deities of which just the memorials are there, that there were some divine beings in this world who had divinity in them. But they don't exist anymore. So that golden aged world of deity souls, that religion of deities has gone into oblivion. Only the memorials are there. And Baba has to establish that once again to repeat the cycle. Not just the religion, but Baba has also to establish a dynasty, because all the dynasties are also finishing. In some countries, for namesake, the kings are there, but then they are just namesake. So even that is finishing. before there used to be the king, and he used to be give complete justice because he was above everything, and therefore he could give complete justice. But now that complete justice is also not possible because everybody has become greedy. And therefore Baba says, in every situation things are going from back to worse, so no dynasties too. And now Baba has come to establish that deity dynasty. How the transformation is going to take place will be also very interesting to watch. That from no dynasty to one dynasty in the whole world. And then Baba is also establishing one world family. Because in golden age, there will be one world family. You know, Lakshmi Narayan are called the sustainers. Vishnu is called sustainer. So they are like the mother and father of all the subjects. You know, even in today's world, the king and queen were considered to be like the mother and father of the subjects. So in golden age, especially the 900,000 or the 16,800 and 16,108, all that royal family, and even the subjects, all will be like one world family. And as one world family, each one will be related to each other in that way. And therefore Baba is establishing that once again, but now we are seeing how that golden aged one world family has scattered all over the world. Even in the remotest of corners of the world. And Baba has to do that job of bringing them together again. And therefore Baba says you have to give the message to everyone. You should leave no one without the message that God has come and He is creating that one world family. And how these three things will be created, Baba has also said that. How will the deity religion come? How will the dynasty come? And how will the one world family come? Baba has told us that too. How will one world religion come? On the basis of purity. Because purity is the foundation of the establishment of any religion. All the prophet souls, on the basis of their purity, they could establish their religion. Because purity was the source of attraction. And that religion was established. And the deity religion, Baba says, is also based on purity. And therefore Baba is emphasizing so much on purity. Children, you have to become pure. Children, you have to become pure. There should be purity even in your thoughts, even in your dreams. Before, in Sakar Murlis, we used to hear the children, if there's any vice, any lust or anything in thoughts, well, that you have to control. But it should not come in actions. You must completely control that. But if in thoughts it comes, okay, never mind. Try to change. Make effort. But you should not allow any vice to happen in action. So Baba used to give us that like release, sort of leave us. Okay, children, if it comes in your thoughts, never mind. But don't allow any vice to come in action. But then, when Baba became avyakt, even in Sakar Murlis at the end, Baba used to say, she'll not even come in your thoughts. And avyakt Murlis, Baba emphasizes on this more and more. Even in your dreams, because sometimes thoughts, okay, you're aware of, and you can control. No, I should not think this. But dreams, they are beyond control, no? How the dreams come. But of course, they are the reflection of your sanskars. Otherwise, if an impure dream comes, it's definitely the reflection of that impure sanskar. And therefore, Baba says, in order to not allow any impure dream to also come, you have to purify your thoughts so much, so much. And yes, when it comes to becoming pure, so many obstacles come. So many obstacles come. Because today's world is filled with vices, and as Baba said today also, some people think that how can we bear children if we don't indulge in sex lust? How can there be procreation? But then, it's not that only for procreation they are indulging in sex lust. If they do it more for recreation rather than procreation. Because it is a form of sensual pleasures. And they think it is like your food. How can you stay without food? Similarly, how can you stay without sex lust? And we are seeing how even young children, how they also are not able to control themselves, because there's so much of body consciousness. Before, we had never ever thought that even children could indulge in sex lust. But nowadays parents are so afraid of sending their young children outside, you know, with anybody like that. But we are seeing this happening because body consciousness has reached its extreme end. And not only that, the extreme of lust, we are hearing so much of mass rape. They kidnap girls, then rape them, and then murder them. It's happening so much. First they kidnap, then they rape, and then they murder. It's like, you know, the extreme of vices. The total climax of vices. And therefore Baba says, you have to be internally very strong in order to face this situation. Like if somebody comes, instead of getting frightened, you should show your spiritual form, become soul conscious, totally detached, and he can see your form of light. And he will not even be able to touch you. He should be able to see you as an angel. And instead of really wanting to attack you or to harm you, he will just fall at your feet. This is the experience of many, many souls. And therefore, Baba says, you have to be prepared in that way also. And how that big situation can turn into something very trivial. Or a mountain into cotton wool. I remember one incident one brother was sharing that one day he was Sevadhari server in Madhuban. He had come from somewhere and he was serving, and he went alone to Baba's rock. He was all alone, nobody there. You know, we always tell everyone, please don't go alone, don't go alone. So there was nobody there, he was sitting alone in Baba's remembrance. And all of a sudden, he saw that a knife came, you know, just above his neck. The knife appeared, somebody from behind. Instead of showing him a knife in front, he put his knife on his shoulder and moved it in the front. And this person was wondering, what is this? This knife is coming in front, big knife. But he remained so peaceful in Baba's remembrance. And then that person came in the front and said, give me what you have. Give me what you have. Otherwise I'll kill you. He was all alone. But this brother, he was sitting in Baba's remembrance. He was so detached, so peaceful. And he told him another time, give me what you have, otherwise I'll kill you. And he was detached. And you know what he said? He said, well, okay, you search me what I have and you can take it. You can take it, I don't mind. And they said, give me, otherwise I'll kill you. You know, the same he was repeating. So he looked into his pocket. He had just 5 rupees, you know. He didn't bring any money. Just 5 rupees he had. And he took that out and gave it to him. This is what I have. I don't have any money. You don't have anything, I'll kill you, you know, that person said. He said, well, if you kill me, you really can't kill the soul. He started giving knowledge to that person. Said, you can't kill the soul, you know. You are a soul, I'm a soul. And a soul is eternal. This body can be killed, but the soul exists forever. It existed even before the body came into existence. It will come, it will remain even after the body dies. So you can't kill me because I'm a soul and you're also a soul. And you're a pure soul. You know the way he started giving him knowledge. And that person, he took back his knife, big knife. And then he kept quiet. He felt the vibrations of peace coming from that person. And then that brother asked him, but why are you doing such a thing? For what? He said, I'm hungry. I want money so that I can eat. I'm hungry. So that brother said, that Sevadhari said, well, if you're hungry, well, I can help you. I can come to our center, you know, come to Madhuban. He was sitting on Baba's rock. Come to Madhuban and I can feed you, don't worry. But why are you doing this? There's no need to do this. You can always get food. And he said it so sweetly, so lovingly, with all the knowledge. And that person put his knife down and the brother brought him to Madhuban. Brought him to Madhuban, and it was nearly dinner time. And he fed him. And they became good friends. And then he started giving him knowledge. And then he said, see, don't do such a thing. And started talking about karma philosophy and how these actions are so bad. And that person really, I don't know after that what happened, but this is a story he shared, that brother shared, that how everything changed. And that person was transformed. So it's very interesting that how when the soul is in its peaceful state, without any fear, without any hatred, without any thought of revenge or whatever, of attack, that mountain-type situation changed into cottonwool. Just imagine. This is one incident. There are so many such incidents. Each one shares their own. I'm sure all of you also would have some examples to share. But it's very beautiful to experience all this. And as Baba says, that Baba is your key to all the problems. Problems are like the locks, but Baba is the solution. Baba is the key. Say Baba and how that problem can be solved. I share another, my own example, that how I, by saying Baba, how Baba becomes the protector. Baba becomes the helper. Because usually in such situations we remember many people. Oh, my mother, my father, my friend, you know. We remember this one, we remember that one. Maybe he can protect me, maybe he can help me, maybe that one can save me. But in such situations, no one can help anyone. But yes, Baba can. Baba is the one with thousands of arms. And if you just say Baba, Baba, you know, Baba, you know, like you become helpless and you just don't say, oh, I can do it. No, Baba. Just surrender to Baba and you will see how Baba brings that help and that big situation turns into cottonwool, mountain-like situation. I share an example, my own experience, how I met with a very big accident and how Baba saved. Well, we were five of us in the car, three behind and two in the front. The brother was driving and so we were three at the back and one brother driving and one brother in the front and we were three sisters at the back. And all of a sudden, the brother was driving. I mean, there was no problem at all. Everything was, the road was very clear, everything very clear. And he was driving not at a very fast speed, very normal speed. And all of a sudden, someone came, you know, to cross the road. And he was actually a tribal man, because we were going through like a forest. And he was a tribal man carrying wood on his head. He must have cut wood for fire, for food. And he was carrying that home. So he had that log of wood, cut wood on his head. And he just came. His wife was also with him. And there was a small, like a rock. And he just came from behind. And the car was going, so we couldn't see that person. And he came and he also didn't see. And what he just came in front of the car. And well, my brother was driving. And the brother tried to give a break. But the brake didn't work. Something happened. And then he tried to use the steering wheel to, you know, to go on the left. Now probably the axle broke. Something happened. And that person who had that log of wood on his bundle of wood on his head, it hit his leg. The one wheel hit his leg. And that person fell down. It hit his leg, he fell down, And that bundle of wood, it flung from his head and it came on the window screen. And the window screen broke. It broke into pieces like the mirror. I mean the mirror broke. And the glass broke. And as he tried to move, the car did move. The person fell on the other side, hitting his foot, and his wife was shouting. But the brother, he tried to turn the car and move on the side, and he couldn't control, and there was a big pillar. The car could have hit the pillar. You know, it could have hit the pillar. And if it have hit the pillar, you can imagine a big crash. There was a deep, like a pit. It was like we were in a little valley. So there was a big deep pit. Now, we were on a little mountain, and there was a deep pit. And the car could have gone into that mountain below, and into the valley. But luckily, you know what happened at that time? I told Baba, I'm coming to you. This is what I said. Baba, you know, I felt like, Baba, I'm coming to you. I didn't say, Baba, protect me, Baba, help me, Baba, I'm coming to you. Now what happened? It neither hit a pillar, nor it went into that valley or whatever. But there were many, many dry twigs, you know, like a fence type of little trees, little bushes. And the car went and, you know, just fell or slept over those bushes. And we three sisters were inside, and I was on the side, and there's a thin sister in the middle and a fat sister on the other side. So that little sister, she went inside, you know, just on the chair, the sofa, the seat. And that fat sister fell on me because the car turned. And then I felt that at that time I could feel this heart had stopped. It stopped. But then after some time, I opened my eyes, my experience. I opened my eyes and I said, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. And I felt that as if that Baba took me in his arms, like, and saved everybody, although the car went and fell on the bushes. And there was a little bit bruise here, then nothing else. And nothing happened to those in the front. Why? Because when the window, the front glass, it breaks. It doesn't break into big pieces. It breaks into small pieces like rainfall. That's how it breaks. So nothing happened to anyone. And we were all protected. But if you would have seen the car after that, the wheel had come out, and something had happened to the in the front, and everything was in a very bad state. And somebody would have, after seeing that car, must have felt that nobody must have died in this car. But nothing happened, and we were all saved. And then I remember how the next day Baba was to come, and all five of us went in front of Baba. And you know what Baba said? Because that person who fell down and he broke his foot or leg, and then he hurt his head, and he went he became unconscious. And then before the police could come, we did something, because the two were doctors, the sisters who were with me, they were doctors. the center was not very far away, so we could phone the center. There was a house nearby. The brother went into that house to phone the sister in the center, and that sister came and took that person who was like unconscious to the hospital. But then he was put in the hospital, but then the next day he died. He died because he hurt his head. And so when we met Baba, you know what Baba said? Baba said, I don't know what Baba meant, but then this is how we understood. Baba's words were, Avyakt Bap Dada. Baba said, all your karmic accounts, your all the karmic accounts of all of you were settled through that person. I don't know what Baba meant. Were settled through that person. Because the next day that person died in the hospital. Of course, it was a big case and many things. But then it didn't last long because he was a tribal man, and then his wife went and got married to this her husband's brother, and then she never came to the court, and it was a big thing. It was, I mean, it went very, very, very easily. But we got the insurance, everything, and everything settled soon. But I had to go to the court, you know, to be in that box, the witness box, and tell what happened. But then it settled very quickly, very easily. But when Baba said, all the karmic accounts of all five of you were settled through that person who died. And I was wondering what it all meant. I mean, he must have had a very big karmic account with us or something, and how it settled, he finished it, and he died, or how it happened. But then, these were Baba's words. And it was like from a mountain to a molehill to a cotton wood. Because just the word Baba did the magic, really. And not just me, I think all must have had the same experience, that how Baba took his hands and made us, you know, or saved us. So this is Baba's miracle. So Baba, when he says that how Baba is the key, it means at that time Baba gives the strength. Baba is the protector. Baba is the only solution, no other solution. We may prepare in different ways, but maybe all those things don't work at all in such adverse situations. But definitely, in many other situations, how we can change a mountain-like situation into cotton wool. How? Like Baba says, apply the three dots. Because a lot is in the mind. We expand it without realizing, you know. We don't realize how we are thinking and thinking and thinking and making that problem become more and more. Actually, the problem is not a big thing. The problem may be many, very minor. But what we do is we think a lot about it. What the consequences are going to be, what will happen, or whatever has happened, what will result into. You know, we think too much. And Baba says you don't have to think much. And very often we see if we are not thinking much, if we are able to give a full stop to that instantly, how those mountain-like situations become so easy to solve. First of all, Baba says, whatever has happened in the past, well, past is past. Don't regret. Very often we regret a lot of what happened in the past. If I would not have done this, then this would not have happened. If this wouldn't have happened, then this wouldn't have happened. You know, we regret a lot for things or which have happened in the past, the situations in the past. Because yes, present is a result of the past, no doubt. Present is the result of the past. But when it is said that past is history, learn from it. That means don't repeat it again. Because if you repeat it again, that mistake can happen once again. So don't repeat it. Learn a lesson from it. But you can't correct that past. That past has happened. It was fixed. So instead of regretting, repenting, crying, it's no use crying over spilt milk, Baba says. It's already done. It's already wrong. Yes? But how we can think positive from it? Well, I learned a lesson. And make a promise to Baba. Baba, I've learned a lesson. I promise I will never repeat this mistake again. And really we see that how that situation becomes so easy to handle. Because Baba gives that inner strength, because you made a promise. Promise is a very big thing. You know, on the path of devotion, people do confess to God. Not that they don't confess to God. They make any mistake or they commit any sinful actions, they go and confess. God, forgive me, because they know that for any sinful action, they will be punished. So please forgive me, God. But then just forgiving, forgive me. But one more sentence is needed. I promise I will never repeat. And then see the strength you get. But we hardly promise. We only say forgive. And then we do it again. That's what we have been doing on the path of devotion. Now Baba says, tell the truth to Baba. That's why Baba says, if you have done anything in the past which was not right and which gave you a lot of sorrow or whatever happened which was not good, okay, confess to Baba, tell the truth. You have to tell the truth, then half of your punishment will be over, okay. But after that, make a strong promise to Baba. And when you make that strong promise to Baba, you see how everything is turning into cotton wool. The thing changes completely because of that promise. Then it is said, even on the path of devotion, God helps those who help themselves. But what does that mean? God helps those who help themselves. Help themselves means not that, yes, I can do it, I can do it. No. Confess. And then make a promise that you won't repeat this mistake. This is your helping yourself. Because then the confidence will come that, yes, I can overcome it. And therefore that past should not be remembered at all. That's why Baba says, give a full stop. Past is past. Give a full stop in 1 second. Use the word drama. This word drama is so beautiful, so beautiful. The moment you say drama, you are able to give a full stop to all the waste thoughts, the negative thoughts, all, you know, anything which was unwanted to think. And the second you give a full stop. All that is part of purity. You know, Baba gave a slogan the other day, even having waste thoughts is impurity. So if there are waste thoughts of the past too, because whatever has happened has happened. So having waste thoughts of the past are also part of impurity, because that's going to give a lot of sorrow. And then Baba says that some say that, well, Baba, okay, past is past, but then as the drama is going to repeat, the same situation will come again in the next cycle. It will come again in the next cycle. So Baba, can you do something so this is not repeated in the next cycle? Baba says that you must have said this in the last cycle also. In the last cycle also you had said this. Just as you are saying this now, in the last cycle too you had said it and it happened. But when it happened, did you remember that you had said this in the last cycle? No. And therefore, don't think about, oh Baba, it should not happen in the next cycle, because that time you won't know. Whatever happened, had happened in the last cycle also. And therefore, instead of having waste thoughts of, in this way, that, oh Baba, it should not happen next cycle, just give a full stop. That's it. And say, past is past. And then you'll feel the pure feelings inside. So Baba takes us to purity to that level. In golden age, will there be any form of regretance of any type? Because, of course, no one commits any sinful actions, that there should be regretance of that. But there are only pure thoughts. And then Baba says, also about the future. Many have waste thoughts about the future. And Baba says, no, even having waste thoughts about the future are also a part of impurity. Future of this life. Why? Because again negative thoughts can come. Oh, what will happen? What will happen? What will happen? And Baba says, use drama in a positive way in this case. That whatever will happen will be good. Will be good. Whatever will happen will be beneficial. Whatever will happen will not be anything new. So beneficial, good, nothing new, and that's the way it is to happen. So instead of saying, oh, this should not happen, that should not happen, instead of that, just surrender it to Baba. Whatever consequences, surrender it to Baba. You do the good action, the right action, but the result, you surrender it to Baba. Don't think of that. This is the real meaning of karma yoga. In the Gita it is said, karma yoga means you do the right karma and leave the result to God for Him to give you the fruit. You don't think of the fruit. You just do the good action. And Baba often says this also is part of karmatit stage, where you have done the right action, but without that any impression of that action, I did it, I was so good, I am clever, surely I will be successful. Even that thought shouldn't come, because again the ego can come. So where the subtle ego comes, we don't know. Self-respect is very good, but when the subtle ego comes and we think of the fruit, yes, I will surely get. Baba says, don't think in this way, because you have forgotten the drama. Because so many karmic accounts are there of the past. Even they play their role. However much you may be very vigilant, very careful, very alert, but past karmic accounts play their role. But then they can turn from a mountain into cotton wool, if you are in Baba's remembrance. And therefore Baba says, if you are doing every action in Baba's remembrance, karma yoga, with hands do your karma, and yoga is with Baba. Baba, I am only an instrument, you are who is doing it, and after having done it, surrendering it to Baba. Baba, you take care. I did my best. And I was only an instrument in your hands. Because that's the way to reach the karmatit stage. To go beyond the pull of the karma. Because at the end, this will help us a great deal. When we'll be able to let go. You know why people suffer? Because they can't let go. They hold on to it. So many things we have to learn to let go. And how can we let go? There's a very nice example. We let go and let God. Just put D there. Let go, and after D, put D, God. Let God. Let God take care. You just let go and let God take care. If there is any problem, anything, don't hold on to it. Don't think, I will do it. You know, like very often Baba says that many children think, oh, why should I give all my problems to Baba? Baba has already so many problems on his head of so many children. Why should I give extra work to Baba? Do you think it's extra work? What do you think? Is it extra work if you are giving it to Baba? No, it's not at all. But if you are not, then Baba was, okay, you do it. You do it. But if I really give it to Baba, of course, I make the effort, the good effort, the right effort, in Baba's remembrance, and then surrender the fruit, the result. All that is also part of purity. And Baba says, this is the purity you are imbibing now for the establishment of the golden age. Applying the three dots, the soul as dot, Baba dot, and Rama dot. And immediately you feel the internal purity, the inner purity, and that purity will become your savior. Baba will be your savior, your protector through that purity. That purity will attract souls and surrender to you. That purity will enable you to finish all the karmic accounts. So much power there is in purity. And it will help you to change that mountain-like situation into cotton wool. And this purity, when imbibed, clears all our path very easily, very easily. Even the biggest of diseases, the monetary problems, even any situation of this world can be cleared very easily with this internal purity. And that's what Baba is wanting us to do. So how is that golden age deity world being established, deity religion being established? Through this purity. When all the karmic accounts of this world of Kali Yuga will finish, nothing we carry forward. We have to go to the neutral point. But yes, all the good karmas which we have done, they will accompany the soul. They will be definitely carried forward. And this is why Baba says, people in the world will go empty-handed. Because they are accumulating just external things. Just external things. And these external things won't accompany them. So they will go empty-handed because they have not accumulated righteous actions. And they have not done those, even if they do good, but they don't do it in God's remembrance. They do it with that ego. I can do it. I, that I consciousness is so much in everyone. And therefore, even if it's a good action, it can turn into a sinful action because ego, it comes in the way. And instead of really become lighter, they become heavier and heavier with the burden of sinful actions. And here Baba is lightening us, making us so light. He says, become double light. I am a point of light and I am light. So light, I can fly in a second only when I let go and let God. But doesn't mean that I just sit cross-handed and cross-fingered and say, okay Baba, you do everything, I won't do anything. No. God helps those who help themselves. But such a big meaning of this, God helps those who help themselves. When I become the instrument of God and do the righteous actions. Then Baba says that I'm establishing a dynasty. We are seeing how in every Murli Baba talks about who will become the king and queen, who will become the subjects, who will become the servants, and so on. So these are all signs of a dynasty. in from copper age onwards, how someone becomes a king only when he does, gives a lot of charity. He has given a lot of charity in this birth, in the next birth he'll be born to a king in the rich family. But in golden age, it's not that if you give money now, then you'll be born as a king. No, but the righteous actions that you do. So dynasty is established on the basis of, you know, different disciplines in life. How is a country, new country established? They have their constitution. There are many laws and bylaws and disciplines and principles which have to be abided by. We have to obey those rules. Rules and regulations and laws and bylaws and all that. And if you disobey, then you can be punished. But there's a constitution for that. So that's a dynasty. That's a new domain, a new country. So for the establishment of the new dynasty, Baba is giving us all the disciplines. From morning till night. How to wake up, how to go to bed also. What to think at each step. These are the disciplines. So my thoughts, my words, my actions, I have to bear these in mind and obey those disciplines. And then I can become the king or whatever I do, I'll be the subject. Or the servant, as Baba says. And Baba says, at the end, you will come to know your own status. At the beginning of the yajna, when the yajna started, at that time, the souls used to get a lot of visions, but it did not mean that they used to get a vision of their status. They used to get a vision of golden age and how Lakshmi Narayan there, and they are also part of that. But just to attract souls. But at the end, the visions will be of a different type, where souls will be able to visualize their own future. Not in general, but their own future, what they are going to become. And then Baba says some will have tears of blood flowing because we'll realize that we are too late. We cannot change now. We cannot do anything now. They did not transform themselves when there was a chance, but then it's too late. You know, in college, in university, we see how the teachers, the professors, they keep teaching the students, they keep teaching. They have to teach and teach the students. But then, once the teaching period is over and it is time for examination, then even the teacher cannot help. In the meantime, before the teacher helps, these questions might come. Not that the question paper is leaked, but then these questions might come, so the teacher prepares the students for the exams. But when the examination is there, then the teacher cannot help. So Baba cannot help at that time. Even if he cried, Baba, please help, Baba will not be able to help because now it's finished, time up. And at the end, Baba says, your examination paper will be only of one question. Only one question. And Baba has already revealed that question. What is that one question? In 1 second, to be able to go beyond and remembering no one else except Baba. Just Baba and none other. But to pass in that examination of one paper, you need a long time practice. And for that, you have to be ever ready all the time. Because it can happen suddenly. So when Baba says suddenly, ever ready, and long time practice, Baba has already, according to that, revealed out that question paper. One second question paper, at that time, what will be your last thought? Your last thought should not be in the remembrance of any human beings, any objects, any situations, anything of this world. Just Baba and another. And then you pass the test. But for that, long time practice and being ever ready all the time, because it can happen suddenly. In the world when we have examinations to appear in, the date is announced, the day is announced, the time is announced, everything is announced. On such and such date, such and such day, at such and such time, you will have your exams. But what is going to come in the exam, that is not announced. That you have to study. But here it is the opposite. The question paper is announced. It's only 1 second question. Like yes and no. You know, we have objective questions. Just one yes or no. Either it is remembrance or no remembrance. But for answering that 1 second question, you need long time practice. As well as be ever ready, that is ready all the time. Of just remembering one Baba and another. And because it will happen suddenly. This is the difference. So which is easier? To know the examination paper beforehand and being ever ready because it can happen suddenly and long time practice easier? Or everything known, time known, date known, day known, place known? But what is going to be in the examination, that is not known, which is easier to face. What do you think? Yes? You understood what I'm trying to say? Which is easier to face? The question paper be known and the rest not known, or everything else known, the question paper not known? Or both are difficult? Anybody answer? No? Huh? Speak loudly. The first one. When the paper needs to be known. That is easier. That means you know the paper. So it is easy for us, no? The paper is known. The paper is known to us. But it is such a question, a 1 second, for which we need a very long time practice. It's not just answering yes or no. But to answer yes, one Baba, none other, is all this. Therefore, Baba says, so much time is needed for Sangam Yoga. Otherwise, there's not much to do, no? Knowledge has been given. Baba has completed giving the knowledge. It's very easy. The knowledge of soul, supreme soul, karma, cycle, so easy. But this is the test. That is the complete purity we will need. So I was mentioning that 3 things are needed. First is purity for religion. Second is the rules and regulations, the bylaws, laws, the disciplines which Baba gives us, we have to abide by. And thirdly, for bringing in one world family once again, Baba gives us this drishti of bhai bhai, brother, brother. See each other as a soul. Each one is a soul. Each one is a soul. He is your brother. Don't even think of sister, brother soul. All are brother souls, children of one father. So when we think in this way, one family is established. Because one father and all his children. And therefore any type of barriers we have in this world, you know, so many barriers. Religion, caste, creed, color, sect, what not. So many differences. People talk about unity in diversity. And Baba says that's not possible. Unity in diversity, that all the religions become one religion, not possible. All the different, all the other things, colors and creed and caste all become one. That's not possible. For that, you need to destroy everything else. But for that establishment of one world family, the unity cannot be based on an external level. Because they're not going to unite. Not. But the unity will come from inside, not from outside. It's inside out, not outside in, that we'll all become one. Inside out means when the consciousness changes, that we are souls, not Hindu or Muslim or Christian or this religion, that religion. And where soul is concerned, these bodily religions are not there. These bodily physical colors are not there. The outlook changes completely, the vision changes completely. Therefore, Baba says, see each one only in the forehead. That's where the soul is. See everyone in the forehead only. The forehead is such a place of the body which is alike for all. All the rest of the body is very different. If you go below the forehead, then the eyes, for example, somebody will have cat eyes, somebody will have black eyes, brown eyes, this eyes, that eyes, almond eyes. The Chinese have different type of eyes. The Japanese have different, Indians have different, you know, different eyes. You can know from the eyes. The nose also, someone fat nose, small nose, thin nose, pointed nose, lips, some people have very thick lips. And more down, then it is even worse and worse and worse. But forehead is alike, is the same. So when we see each other in the forehead, we see that soul. We're all one. And we are able to go beyond the pull of the body. And that will bring all the souls together. And the second thing which will bring all the souls together is one Baba in between. Baba is like the magnet. You are Shiv Baba's child, I'm Shiv Baba's child. Baba is a magnet, just like a magnet when brought in front of many needles, it attracts all the needles. One magnet is enough to attract all the needles. You don't have to pick up each needle, but just take a magnet there and all the needles will come together. And then each needle will become a temporary magnet and attract other needles. Because it is connected to one magnet. And if you remove the magnet, all the needles will fall off. So that one magnet is Baba. You give to Baba and Baba gives me. I don't take from you directly. You give to Baba. And yes, Baba is giving me. Then human beings are not remembered. Baba is remembered. And when Baba is remembered, there's so much benefit. Human beings are not remembered then. Because if some human being gives you something, when you wear that, you say, oh, that one gave me. But Baba gave me. So that person is not remembered. And he also will remember Baba that I gave to Baba. Such a beautiful way of really remembering Baba too. So in this way, all our situations can turn from mountains into cotton wool. Yes? Okay? Any question, anybody? Has anyone any question? Now turn on this, okay? Om Shanti. We will now sit in Baba's remembrance.